Welcome to the Smart Marketer podcast with Ezra Firestone, sharing stories, ideas, and techniques to help you grow your business and have fun while doing it.
Well, hello, and welcome to this week's edition of the Llama Commerce Show, where we are demystifying e-commerce into digestible, actionable bites. I'm Brett Curry. I'm the lead strategist here at Classy Llama.
And I'm
Llama Commerce.
I'm the CEO of Classy Llama. And we have here today a very special guest, our first recurring guest, which I think is a really big deal on the show. This is a landmark milestone. And who better to be our first recurring guest than the guy with the coolest name, the guy with the long hair, the lifetime hippie, Ezra Firestone!
Woo! Here's what we've discovered. You never explode the rock. Everyone will tell you. They'll try to fist bump you, and then they'll try to explode the rock. You got to change the game. You got to never explode. So when someone comes and they're like, just don't do it. Just
my wife and I explode. We think it's super funny because we're really not like that.
You guys do the squid, because you could do the squid, you know. You could. There's a lot you could do.
You get squid, but you don't.
The jellyfish.
What else is there, Ezra? You're teaching me things. I like this.
Well, I think we'll stick to one knowledge drop bomb per episode, and I think
squid.
Boom. No, don't explode. Don't explode it.
We didn't. That was a squid. Did you recognize the
that was a good
squid action?
I did see that.
Good. Hey, one thing I want to point out, because this is going to be an awesome show. We've got some brilliant stuff to cover. We're talking traffic, which is the lifeblood of every e-commerce business, and Ezra's got some wicked cool stuff to talk about, but we'd be remiss if we didn't talk about our Mr. Trophy
special
guy.
Special guest. Actually the first recurring guest. He's our first recurring guest.
This is Ott, as Kurt likes to call him, the one-armed table tennis trophy from circa 1999. This goes to whoever delivers the most value on the show, which is typically me if it's just Kurt and I. Occasionally it's our guest. It just depends. But this will be awarded to some lucky person on the show today. You won't get to keep it, but you get to brag about it and tell your mom and stuff like that.
I would really like to get a hat like the one that Kurt wears in a small size and put it on Ott.
That would be really, really cool because I am the star of the show, and that would really make it clear that
Let's go find a tennis-playing Ken doll and take the clothes from it.
Ooh,
okay.
Man.
This is getting a little weird, but so I was thinking – actually, I think it's important this particular show, given that it's so special and that we're having recurring guests on here, is we know that this guy's was in seventh grade when he won this. So this is a seventh-grade table tennis player. So we know his age. We don't know the birth date, but we know pretty close to how old he is. So
yeah.
I think I figured it out. He's 28 now.
It's really fast.
So that's really amazing. I mean, happy birthday sometime this year, Mr. 28-year-old one-arm table tennis player.
That's awesome.
So should we be on topic now?
I think so.
Okay,
let's do
that.
It's awesome. So we got Ezra Firestone here, one of our good friends. Just love this guy. He's also an e-commerce rock star. And so we are talking about a topic that everybody in business needs to master, because this is the lifeblood of your e-commerce business, and that's traffic. And so one of the hottest sources of traffic, also one of the least understood sources of traffic, especially for merchants, is Facebook traffic, mm-hmm. and specifically paid Facebook traffic. So Ezra, why don't you dive in and kind of give us an overview of Facebook traffic, and we'll just dialogue through this thing.
And I think one thing I want to point out before you do that, Ezra, is that Ezra is someone who is using this. He's not just talking about it. He is using it and
daily.
He's killing it with it. And that's why I wanted to talk to him about it, because we want to kill it as well.
With social media experts, sometimes they've written an article or a book,
exactly.
And they're a social media expert. Ezra's a traffic expert, and he's doing this stuff all the time for his stores and for clients.
And we're spending up to $30,000 a day on certain campaigns, so we really run a lot of volume in our business. And, you know, one of the things that traditional e-commerce merchants rely on is query-based traffic. That's Google AdWords. That's comparison shopping engines. That's Amazon. That's when there's buyers going to a search engine and typing in a query. And that's really like the lifeblood of most e-commerce business owners. They don't really understand. The e-commerce business owners in our community don't tend to understand contextual traffic, where someone is like hanging out on Facebook or surfing a web page and you're interrupting them, a lot like someone's reading a magazine and you interrupt them with an ad. It's interruption advertising. It's based on the context of what that user is doing and what you know about them. And it's about 90% of the traffic that is available online is contextual-based traffic, and 10% is query-based. So if you can learn how to leverage contextual traffic for your business, particularly for your e-commerce business, you can do really well with it. And the easiest platform to start with is Facebook, and the platform that has the most targeting available on it, right? Because Facebook has it's called multi-data point contextual targeting, meaning we know how old they are, we know what gender they are, we know what they're interested in, we know if they just got divorced, we know when their birthday is. Like, we have all these data points, and there's third-party people who feed data into Facebook, like these people own cats, or these people own a house worth $1 million, or these people, you know, have bought pet products in the last month. So we have all these data points that we can use to target our users. And depending on the type of e-commerce business that you have, you can leverage, there's two types really. There's like sort of the big multi-SKU e-commerce business owners with 500 to 15,000 SKUs. And then there's the sort of the single line or single brand e-commerce business owners that might have 5 or 10 SKUs. And there's kind of that middle range, but really you kind of fall on one or the other end of the spectrum when it comes to...
Before you jump into like the difference between the two, I just wanted to like point out something. You know this so well, you just skimmed through it, but I wanted to like draw out something. You just said contextual advertising represents 90% of the opportunity, and people don't understand it, so they're not using it. So you've got low demand, crazy high supply. Guess what that creates? Really, really low prices and amazing opportunity. And I bet that's a big part of why you are killing it. It's like paid search on all the query based stuff you were talking about back in like the mid 2000s or something like that. Like, it was amazingly, ridiculously cheap back then. Well, guess what? We have the opportunity again. It's called contextual advertising. So I just wanted to point that out because I think it's key.
Yeah. And, you know, people get all like, man, I wish because I was around in the AdSense days when we were spending 3 cents a click and spending 10 grand to build a customer base of 100,000 people. Like, I was around in those days. And in 2008, Facebook was about 2-3 cents a click. And I was around for that. And I think that, like, there's always going to be that platform. Perhaps it's Pinterest next. We'll see. But, like, it's not like you've missed out as a business owner. It still exists. It just, you have to know where to go and how to do it.
And yet we see merchants getting married to the thing that worked, and that's the problem, is because there is always that next thing, and if you are not maintaining
Hey, are you back, Ezra?
Yeah, I'm back.
Awesome.
So what's up? I don't know where we are.
That's okay, Ezra. I mean, we've been carrying it. You should. I mean, I was on the spot. I was like, bam, 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 like jokes just coming out. Everyone was laughing. And
it was bashful. So one of the things that I said, though, while we're waiting is query-based traffic still works. We're running it all the time for clients very profitably. It's still key. But as a merchant, you can't get locked into what you know. And there's so much other opportunities out there, so you got to take advantage of that.
And we said Ezra is the one that's always looking at these new things and bringing them up, and we were segueing into you, and we're like, Ezra, where are you, man? And then you weren't there.
And I was just like lost in Brooklyn.
Exactly. So break it down. Why don't you quickly lay out how you've made this work? Because I'm confident there are people that have dabbled in this and have wasted a lot of money.
Let's look at the two. I'm just going to give you two models, frankly. That's all you can handle right now in the time that we have. So here are the two models. Model one is if you have a very large number of SKUs. It's really hard to set up an individual sales funnel for each SKU, which is what you need on Facebook if you're going to go Facebook direct to the sale of a physical product, which is much harder because they weren't searching for that physical product. So you must engage the potential prospect in a story before you pitch them on the product, which I'll tell you about in just a second. But let's say you have a large number of SKUs. What you want to do is not go direct to the sale of the physical product. You want to build up a fan base, right? A group of people who are engaged with your fan page. And the way that you do that is you create a fan page that's related to your store, maybe not your brand name fan page. Like, let's say you sell plus size women's clothing and your brand is Americana. Your fan page might not be Americana. It might be like, you know, I'm big and I'm proud and natural beauty. And then you'd post pictures and images of, you know, people in that category having positive experiences, and you'd market those pictures and images to interest groups of people who are fan pages of other businesses in that area, people who fit that demographic, and you'd build a list of fans, and then you'd run direct response promotions to that group of fans. That works really, really well. That's fundamentally an overview, an eagle eye view of the model that works for if you've got 5,000 SKUs. You build up a community, and then you do direct response ads to that community over to your e-commerce business.
So Ezra, people, the one thing I know I get a response on this particular type of approach is I think merchants are really scared to do this kind of thing because it's an indirect approach. And so like, I'm going to pay all this money for all these fans, and why do I care about friends? Like, I don't want a bunch of fans. I want a bunch of customers. And so how do you respond to that? How do you, because I hear what you're saying and I totally agree with you, but you know, how do you respond to that challenge?
Well, I would just ask them if they wanted to make money. Right. Here's why.
Is that,
Look,
closer? Like, do you want to make money or not?
Here's the reason. Let me tell you the main reason that people – I coach and consult with a lot of business owners from the, you know, low six-figure level to the high eight-figure level. And the people who are trying to move from six to seven figures, the main block, the main reason that they're not moving there is they're not spending enough money. It's like that – it's that statement in Spider-Man, with great power comes great responsibility. You remember that one? Well, if you flip that around, with great responsibility comes great power. If you want to do well, you've got to spend. You've got to reinvest that money into your advertising. If you're not putting 50% of your profits back into advertising your business, you're not scaling as fast as you possibly could be. And this model works really well. I'm using it in my business right now. Yes, it's a long game. We're farming here. We're planting seeds of a mango tree that's going to fruit for 30 years. We're not just going to try and spear a fish. So, you know, hey, if you don't want to take that long-term vision and that long-term approach to your business and build a real asset, that's cool. I've got nothing, you know, I think it's a ridiculous response. It's like, it's not being willing to invest and play the long game. And
I just want you to know that we, first of all, have a sales position open at Classy Alumni in case you're interested. And secondly, I think it's amazing. You just ridiculed the merchant and they're still going to sign to work with you because you called them an idiot. You're like,
I didn't call him an idiot. I said that because look, it's not about that person. It's that particular response. I think
not stupid. Your response was, I like it.
The response is actually an inaccurate. It's not in touch with the reality of the way things are. And that's why I feel so strongly about it, because I know the way things are because I do it myself. So I have personal experience. I'm not just theorizing. I know for a fact that this campaign works. And if you do it, it'll work for you. You have to do it intelligently, but you can because you're brilliant and you follow Classy Llama.
And I think that's the key, because I was having a conversation with a merchant last week about Facebook, and they've got no measurement on Facebook. They got a lot of fans, but they're not. No sales are tangibly made from Facebook. And I think that's why people are scared of it. But, and
it
is measurable.
Well, here's the way you make that actually work. You got to have consistent, high-quality, good, engaging content. If you don't have consistent, high-quality, good, engaging content, this will not work. You cannot just buy fans to a page that's got nothing on it, right? Got to be consistent. And will you have to pay to get your direct response messages in front of those fans of your page? Yes, but that's fine. You're not going to get free visibility to those fans anymore. It's not how Facebook's EdgeRank or whatever it is works anymore. It's hard. You get 5% of them with your posts. So you're going to have to pay for that visibility to those fans, but it's still ROI. So you're going to get a fan for between 30 cents and a dollar in any given market, and that fan can pay you month over month, and you're going to pay to get your message in front of that fan. But if you've got 5,000 SKUs and you're engaging that community of fans with content, you'll keep selling them stuff, and the lifetime value of that customer will be higher than what it costs you to acquire them and market to them.
So Ezra, a question that I have is, you've got, like you mentioned, something that's really that I'm wondering about is, sometimes you want to have your own brand there on your fan page, and sometimes you want to create like a topical fan page. Is there some guidance that you can give for when you do one or the other?
Well, I always have my own branded fan page that I send all my customers to and my email list to. I always have my own branded fan page. And I am a fan of building brands. That's what I like to do. So I run all my content from my branded fan pages. That's how I do it. A lot of people prefer to have a non-brand associated fan page that looks like it is indirectly pushing some other brand's sales of their product. So it looks like, hey, we're an arbitrary third party who are trying to, you know, saying that this website is good and you should buy the stuff from this website. I don't like to do it that way. They're both effective. I frankly don't think it makes much of a difference whether or not you do it on your fan page or on some other type of fan page. It's easier to advertise from, you know, I Love My Body than it is from Boom by Cindy Joseph. That headline in your ad, because the fan page name is in your Facebook ad, gets you a little bump in click-through rate. And sometimes we'll run our ads from different fan page names just to test click-through rate on the ad copy. But it's always back to our main fan page.
Okay. And ultimately, I think what you're saying is that it does come back to the hero, which is the content. You really do have to have that quality content. And brand or no brand, you've got to have that great content to drive that fan base.
Totally.
So Ezra, let's talk about, because you've got this funnel. You said you perfected the system. I've seen some of the numbers. You've walked me through this. Let's walk through some of the steps. How do you actually make this work?
Okay. Set up a fan page. Produce awesome content, which could just be a picture once a day, a picture once a day. Do interest-based targeting and run ads to that picture and that fan page to generate likes. Then run ads to the fans of that page with direct response links back to your sales page. Fundamentally, that's what it is.
So content leading into direct ads related to
products. Yeah, content to engage the community and build the fan base, and then direct response ads to the fan base and community. And get this, let's say you have been running your content-based ads to acquire fans to a certain targeting group, right? To a certain targeting group, like people interested in plus-size clothing or whatever, right? Or fans of this particular brand, or people who like fast food restaurant, I don't know, whatever, right? So now when you're running your direct response ads, you're not just running them to the fans of your fan page. You're running them to the same targeting group that saw all your other pieces of content, because you'll make sales from that targeting group as well, even though they're not your fans, because they've seen your content in their newsfeed. So it's all the people who are your fans, as well as all the people that you've been targeting with your content who are not yet your fans. They're just in a targeting group. It's called third contact direct response advertising. They've had a couple I have coined this term, third contact direct response. It's what we do in all of our businesses.
Cool.
We don't hit people with a direct response advertisement until the third contact with us. That makes sense?
So in other words, you're promoting all of your direct response after you've hit them three times with that content, that rich content.
Whether or not they're our fan.
Whether or not, so you're still doing that broad shoot, but so you can actually target within Facebook to say they have to have seen three things, have three impressions of our content before we target them. How do you set that up?
You can't. You can just target the same targeting group been targeting with your content.
So you just make sure you push out three pieces of rich content before you do that with that same segmented group.
That's right. And if you're doing it properly, they've probably seen more content than that of yours.
Okay.
But I think the key is you're creating great content and you're actually investing in that content. So you're promoting the content that has no sales angle at all. It's just fun, good quality content.
Yeah.
And then you're also promoting and paying for the direct response ad.
And guess what else? Sometimes that content is an article on your blog, and then they happen to be on your website, and they'll go like, this content also sells. It soft sells. You'll make sales, but it's not the point of it. And when you are promoting an article on your blog, guess what's on that page? A retargeting pixel for Twitter, a retargeting pixel for Facebook, and a retargeting pixel for Google. So you're building remarketing lists on all the platforms, right?
So I think it's important actually to that point, if you're driving traffic to that content, that you do create a good interlaced marketing with your content on your site as well, or on all your web properties, to make sure that there are easy, clear paths to purchase from that content that you have.
And, you know, hey, look, we're talking about two different types of content, images that you promote on Facebook and also links to articles on your blog. So if you're going to link to an article on your blog, then you want to make sure that article probably recommends a couple products and, you know, whatever.
So what about the nuances to that? Like you said, there's two groups. There's those that have a lot of SKUs, those that have a few SKUs. What are the nuances in how you structure this to be effective for those? Because I think we were talking about the larger SKU client.
Okay.
Or
what about the SKUs? Here's how you do it. You don't run traffic to build a group of fans. You do traditional direct response advertising because you only got a couple products to sell, and you can't send people directly from Facebook to your product page. It won't work. So you send people directly from Facebook to what I call a pre-sell engagement page, which is basically a page that engages someone in a story about someone's experience. Hey, you know, let's say it's a weight loss product. Hey, I'm Ezra and I'm a diet expert and a food detective, and here's my experience. And, you know, I wasn't feeling good in my body, and I wasn't feeling confident at the beach in the summer. And, you know, here's why it's relevant to you, because you probably want to feel better in your body and feel confident in the beach of the summer. So this is the problem I was having, all about your experience. It's kind of a story. Engage them in a story about someone's life. And then here's what I did about it. You got to explain the problem, right? Better than anyone else. If you look at copywriting, the person who can explain the problem that the customer is having the best is the one who sells the most. So, hey, and this is what I did about it. These were my results. And this thing really helped me. And you can find out what this thing is on the next page. You don't tell them what it is. You just allude to the solution. And then basically what you've done now is now they click that link to go to the next page, which is essentially a long form sales page for your product. So instead of now sending Facebook to a sales page where you're chasing someone to buy, you've sent them from Facebook to a page where you're engaging them in a story about something that they now decide on their own accord to go and look at the product. They're chasing your product instead of you chasing them. So it's Facebook
direct, then. You're driving them directly to that page that's specifically designed to engage them and draw them into that purchasing decision, rather than building up that fan base because they only have so few products. It can be much more surgically targeted to create that buying proposition to them.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you got 10 products, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You've, it's not hard to create a sales sequence for each of those products. And you can't send them directly to your sales page. It's not going to work very well. You want to send them to a piece of engagement that gets them involved in a story about the product that perhaps has an opt-in on it. Maybe this first step's an opt-in. You definitely have retargeting pixels. There's many different ways you can structure that funnel. The best for us right now is Facebook to a landing page that's basically an article on a blog that's sort of like a news piece, not news, but like just a story about something that then moves on to a long-form sales page for our product. Sometimes we're running to an opt-in where we opt them in and then we follow up with them with emails in case they don't buy. And each time we've got a retargeting pixel on the pre-sale page, we've got a conversion pixel. Once they make it to the offer page, we can now see how many people went from our ad, landed on the pre-sale page, and moved on to the offer. And we can manipulate and test the pre-sale page to get more people over to the offer. Then we've got a conversion on the thank you page so we can see how many people moved from the Facebook ad to the pre-sale page to the offer over to the
And this brings us right back to what I think is really critical to understand, that Ezra isn't saying we set this thing up and bam, it works like magic and everything. We're just plowing in the business. Now, maybe that is the case, but you can make it a lot better as you tweak it and as you make sure that engagement page is working. And like he's saying, maybe you want to do opt-in. Maybe that works best where you create two touch points before the sale and you do the engagement to create opt-in. Then you send out an email and they drive that through the email and actually make the purchase, or maybe you have to send the three emails to make the purchase. But the point is you got to tweak it, test it, turn it, change it, and find out what is that, you know, that chemical connection that works with the end user and connects with them. And I mean, Ezra, can you speak to that? Like, how often does it, I mean, how long does it take?
If you're going to be buying contextual traffic, there are two things you absolutely must be doing. You must be placing retargeting pixels on every piece of the page, every page that they land on in your funnel, so that you have those different groups: engagement people, sales page people, buyers, and you can target them retargeting differently. And you must absolutely be testing your funnel. It doesn't make sense to drive traffic to a landing page that you're not actively running a split test on. Why would you do it? With targeted focused split testing, you can get between 20 and 100% boosts every single time by testing the headline and testing the messaging and the hero image and whatever else. Like, it's like, it would be ridiculous for you to not be running some kind of a split test, and you're probably not going to be profitable the first time out. You're probably going to have to test your funnel. We test all of our funnels. We fail more often than we succeed, but when we succeed, we seed really big because that's how it works.
So here's what's interesting, Ezra. I think a lot of people probably are listening to this and saying, okay, I see now how and maybe why this works, but this feels a lot harder than just running Google AdWords, right? So turning on an ad that sends people directly to the page, because that's what merchants want to do. We want to run an ad and send it to a page and have people buy. So this has a few steps in it.
Yeah, they don't want to do any marketing.
What's that?
They don't want to do any marketing.
Yeah, yeah. But can you talk a little bit about, so to give people motivation, because I know this works and I know you share with me some numbers, but in terms of like ROI, how is this comparing to query-based traffic for you and your businesses?
Let's look at my mastermind group. Combined in the Blue Ribbon Mastermind group, we got about 25 people, over $100 million a year. You look at my businesses and some of the other businesses involved, and I would say 75% of that volume is coming from contextual targeting. The thing about it is once you get an offer that works, you can scale it much bigger than you can with query-based traffic. And you know what? You're going to have to learn how to do traditional sales funnel marketing, landing pages, sales pages, upsells. You're going to have to learn a new type. You're going to have copy. You're going to have to learn a new type of marketing to sell your physical products. It's not traditional big box retail where it's just a page with an image and a description. It's a different style of marketing. Is it any harder? No, it's all the same stuff. Marketing is messaging. It's communicating why you think what you have is valuable to the consumer looking at that product. It's just different, and it's scary when you have change and difference, but it's also how you grow. So I think that the ROI is significant. It also depends on what are your margins. What market are you in? I'm spending $5 an opt-in in the business opportunity space right now, and that's an expensive market. I'm spending $1 an opt-in in the self-help, beauty market. So it depends on your market, depends on your margins, depends on your products. Can it be extremely profitable? Of course. But, it requires work and focused attention on learning this stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
Was that inspirational? I hope it was.
I almost stood up and clapped a couple of times. That was pretty amazing. We actually almost did a fist bump of the squid.
It was. Yeah.
We almost did it like four times, but mainly because we need to practice. Yeah. Anyway, Ezra, thank you so much. It was super awesome to have you on. And I think one of the things we need to tweet out. So Jesse, you need to tweet this out. Was Ezra really telling a story about himself when he said he didn't like his body and he didn't want to go to the beach? Was that actually a story about him, or did he make that up as an example? I don't even know. I don't want to ask because we can't embarrass you on
Ezra's
on
live, a surfer, man. He surfs, so he's probably pretty comfortable.
Yeah, but maybe at some point it wasn't that way. That's the question. Is there actually a big
story? Was I a fat kid?
No.
What?
Was I a fat kid, right? Basically.
I guess that's what we're, or at least did you think you were at some point? Were you insecure? So we need to know this. This is really important. I think it's the most important takeaway from the show, actually, is was this actually true about Ezra or not? I mean, the whole thing about Facebook being crazy and contextual advertising being something you need to invest in and really take a look at, that's all. Well, that's just context. I guess. That's contextual. Oh, my gosh. Layers. Whoa. So anyway.
That was meta right there.
So here's the deal. This investment is a significant investment of effort and focus and time, and ultimately it'll take money as well, and you've got to put things at risk. But it's one of those things. You take a few shots and you take them well. We say it over and over and over again at Classy Llama. Take fewer shots and take them really well. Create more value by doing less. So focus on this really hardcore and make it work. And really think about it. It is not. There's no such thing as like the quick win in e-commerce. It's just business. It takes work and effort, and you got to think through how are we delivering value. So I love this approach because it's all about building out content that really delivers value to the market.
Matters. People care about.
Exactly. Yeah. So you got to lead by giving them something that's free and valuable, and you're just trying to support them and help them. And then if they want to, they can buy. Ultimately, you create those opportunities for them. But the deal is start by giving something that they can use and that's valuable for free.
And I think one of the takeaways is you've got to move beyond ad to sale immediately. Like we run an ad, we sell a product, to thinking about a funnel.
It's just like a new relationship. You can't pop the question right off the bat. You got to build up a relationship and, date for a little bit. You got to build that trust. And I think that's what this is all about. And actually, I really love the shifts that have been taking place in e-commerce over the last 5 years or so, because they're really driving that trend towards demanding the relationship really be there. It used to be easy. You just throw up a site, throw up an ad on paid search or whatever, or just get organic traction because there's nobody else competing, and boom, you got $1 billion.
Run some broad match keywords. Who cares what you're paying?
It's just not the case anymore, and I actually really appreciate that because it means that the cream will rise to the top. So Ezra, thank you for helping us identify how that cream is actually rising to the surface right now and how you're making that happen for your clients. So Ezra Firestone, amazing name, hippie, contributor, winner of the trophy, hands down this time. You can take a look at his site, smartmarketer.com, and see what else he's up to. It's just tremendous how much content Ezra's driving through his site.
Yeah.
I strongly recommend it. Follow it because he's constantly driving quality traffic.
And you know what I think we should do, Kurt?
What?
I think we should have Ezra on again, maybe regularly even, and start talking about the other ways to drive traffic.
Contextual. I think let's focus on contextual advertising specifically. Does that sound good to you, Ezra? Is that a good
specific
focus?
Facets of that. And how
you guys are putting me on the spot on the show. I can't really say no.
That's why we do this.
We gave you a trophy. We said you're cool.
That's right. You got to keep going. Right. I mean, you can't.
I'd love to come back. I think what you guys are doing here is very cool and very needed for the community. So I'm happy to be a part of it, and I'm honored that you guys want to have me on the show.
Cool. Awesome.
Well, appreciate it, Ezra. As always, really appreciate it. We can say as always because he's been on once already, so now we can say that.
I've been on twice.
What? I said once before. Sorry, once
been
before.
Three shows.
Yeah.
We did two. We did
that's
a double
header. Amazing. Three shows, Ezra. You're like a star. It's amazing. So anyway, hey, all of you can connect on our social media. Let us know what you're thinking, what questions you have. If something
what
wasn't
topics
clear,
you want us to discuss.
Absolutely. We want to answer your questions and deliver value that's tailored to the people that are watching the show. So talk back and let us know what's going on. And until next Friday at 11 a.m. Central Daylight Time.
Llama Commerce.
This has been another episode of the Smart Marketer Podcast with Ezra Firestone. For more tips and tutorials on how to grow your business, visit smartmarketer.com and join the newsletter. You'll be notified when we post new episodes. Please also subscribe to us and leave a comment in iTunes.